From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the ninth day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hear all about the proposed and projected numbers for next year's crops and what it might mean for farmer income. And as normal, we'll hear an ag update of the news from Director of Ag Programming here at Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's check in on the numbers as they settled up in Chicago at the CME Group. For this Wednesday afternoon, December corn at 443.5, a penny and three quarters higher. The March at 456.25, up a penny and three quarters. And May, 2 cents higher a bushel at $4.64.75. July futures at 472.25, up 2.25. December of next year, the harvest month for 2014, at $4.85.25. Up 2.25. November beans today, $12.87.75, down a penny. January at 12.84, that's down 3.75. March at 12.69, 6.75 lower. The May at 12.50.5 in the bean pit, down 5.75. July a nickel lower at $12.47.5. And next year's November, $11.76.5, down a penny and 3/4. Bean meal futures at $4.25.20 in the October, down $3.50. Bean oil, 35 cents higher at $40.55. The soft red winter wheat finished the nearby July, or the deferred July contract, at $6.98.25. That's the harvest month of next year, down 2 cents. And the hard red in the July at $7.67.25, a quarter of a cent higher. Live cattle futures now, nearby contract at $128 for the October, down 27.5 cents. December at $131.95, that's 37.5 lower. October feeder cattle, 25 cents lower at $164.55. And November futures at $166.37.5, a nickel higher. October lean hogs, $89.82.5, down $1.40. And December futures for 100 pounds, $86.52.5. December lean hogs settled $1.67.5 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $101.44 a barrel, down $2.05. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.62. That's a penny lower for the day. And ethanol futures at $1.72 and a tenth, up 3 and a tenth of a cent. The difference between the two at 89 and 9 tenths of a cent on the spread. That's down, narrower rather, at 4 and a tenth of a cent. Natural gas at $3.68 and 9 tenths, 2 and 7 tenths of a cent lower. And the diesel fuel at $3.02, down 2 cents for the day. Gold futures $1,307, $17.40 lower on the afternoon for their settlement price in the U.S. dollar. Currently trading 80.37, that's up 0.31 for the day. The weather forecast says that we'll see some beautiful skies over the next several days. This afternoon, sunny, a high of 73 degrees. And then this evening, we'll have mostly clear skies and a low of 49. An east-southeast wind tonight at 3 to 6. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 78. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, 54. Friday, sunny and 80. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 57. And Saturday, a 40% chance of rain showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 in the afternoon, partly sunny, and a high of 79 degrees. Saturday evening, the showers and thunderstorms may continue. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a low of 57. And then on Sunday, a return to sunny skies and 72 degrees. Sunday evening, cloudy and 51. For Columbus Day, Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 72. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy and 53. And a chance of rainfall continues into Tuesday with partly sunny skies and a high of 69 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of October, 2013. On the phone line, as usual for Wednesday afternoon, is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is a beautiful day, but the shutdown continues in Washington, D.C. I'm wondering what impact this is having as it drags on and where you're finding information.
Well, you know, the impact can be seen every day. We're seeing more, playing it safe type of an attitude. In other words, more day traders coming in. Some people just basically sitting on the sidelines, not doing much, and so trading ranges are very small. It has given us opportunity to see some testing going on of different support points. But information, well, we're continuing to see the Smithfield said they're going to use CME settlements for their hog prices. Cargill's using Urner Barry, which is well thought of in their industry, also for their hog prices. CattleFax is now being depended upon to come out and help us with cattle prices. GPSA, of course, because the grain inspection people are not federal employees. They just report the information to the USDA, and the USDA disseminates it. We at least were able to get that on Monday. We will not get any export sales tomorrow. Federal milk orders helping out in terms of settling the milk contracts. Now, one of the newest things that just came out today was that the CFTC reviews contracts for RBOB, which is the gasoline, versus Eurobob, which is the European gasoline, average price options contract. And so the release of that particular contract is going to be delayed until the CFTC comes back into business again. And so, you know, things are beginning to pile up. And, you know, the longer this goes on, if it would go on beyond the 1st of November, now it's going to get to be more and more difficult all the time. You know, we could get some information coming out of what's actually going on, but if all of a sudden you start not having contracts being put on when they should be and all of those types of things happening, suddenly people who are using those as hedge instruments, you know, don't have it available to them.
What are the concerns, Jackie, with using private organizations rather than the governmental functions to set prices?
Well, I believe that none of us are naive enough to not think that so many times the private industry is going to have a bias one way or the other. You know, it would be like you and I going to the car dealership and saying, okay, it's like going to the car dealership and saying, what's my car worth? You know, and then them telling you what they want to sell you a new car for. Well, it's kind of the same thing. You know, if you look at, let's say, a grain company can say, okay, this is where the price is, or this is what it looks like, and then on the other side, you know, this is what we want to sell it for. We do that day in and day out, but we don't get information from them. We're getting information through the USDA and through a lot of different sources. So I think private industry, as much as everybody complains about the USDA, still is not a good choice because it is hard, and I don't care. If you're a business person, you have to be looking out for what you're doing, and that means that it could skew your view.
So Washington is closed. There's another date coming up that we have to be aware of. What happens if we fail to pass a debt ceiling increase by the 17th of October?
Well, you know, this is very scary to me because I think if we actually get past the debt ceiling date, all bets are off. With the introduction of the Health Care Act and now the possibility of not being able to settle anything with the debt ceiling, the economy will become more and more leery. Investors will become more and more leery. And I think what's really important to all of our people, production people, end user people, is to make sure that they have themselves covered, because you just can't take that chance. We hear a lot of talk about a possibility of going back to recession. Unlikely it's going to happen overnight, but we're also hearing a lot of ramifications and things going on. Businesses making big changes at this point in time, and if suddenly we don't get past this level, and or I just saw an article that the president has asked the administration to try and find a non-legislative way to be able to settle this. I didn't think that that was possible, that you could have a non-legislative way. But anything can happen. So I my point is, you cannot allow yourself to be unhedged or to take big chances on anything, because we really don't know. You know, we remember 2008 all too well when we saw corn go from 572 down to 290. It's not a nice situation.
Let's deal directly with some of the marketplace. Take me through the technicals and the fundamentals for corn.
Well, when I look at 2013 corn, the number one question that I've been getting asked is, you know, how low can it go? So I put together some charts and basically looked at the, did a Fibonacci extension from the lows that we put in June of 2012 to the low of August of 2012. And what that puts out there, now right now, today we close at 443, we have a 62% retracement at 439 and three quarters, which I would consider to be good support right at the moment. But we did try to test down into that neighborhood today. If we break that, then our free fall, if we 100% retrace it, Todd, we could go to 396 and three quarters. And, you know, under the right circumstances, something like that could happen. When you talk about the fundamentals are that we continue to hear good yields. We continue to see predictions come out for a larger crop. Landworth came out at 13.7 today. That's lower than the USDA, but it's higher than last month, than their last report is. And so I think the key on the fundamentals, especially for 13, and this affects 14, is just that USDA has demand up 1.4 billion bushels. And we have to hope that that this opportunity with the shutdown puts China in the market again. China did come in and supposedly buy 420,000 metric tons of corn. If they are very aggressive buyers during the shutdown, when they can do it with little fanfare and have very little impact on the market, you know, that could be something that would be really, really good for us. But the point is, we need to really see the demand climb, and in order to support even the current carryout that we have at this point in time. Now, Brazil, CONAB came out and said Brazilian production is going to be down 2 to 3 million metric tons this year, and that was something that we've been talking about. Another good thing, lower prices, Central Ohio ethanol plant that's been idling for almost 5 years is going to reopen. So there are some very good things going on. The question is, can they be enough to really get us back to levels that guys might be waiting for? And when you look at the technicals on 14, Todd, it's extremely interesting because of the fact that right now, you know, today we close at 485 and a quarter, and I did the same type of a Fibonacci extension, except that I went from the low. I also went from the low of June of 2012 to the high of September of 2012, and there, 100% retracement takes us to 322 and a quarter. Now, people might say, "Well, we've never heard of those numbers before," and I certainly don't want to see us go there. But I do believe that we have to have ourselves protected, and I think getting some protection in on crop insurance for February is an extremely wise thing to do right now.
Did you do the text for the beans, too?
I sure did.
What they
look
like?
I sure did. Well, when we look at 2013 November, you know, we do still have a really good situation from the standpoint of a lot of demand. But if you do a Fibonacci extension here and you go from the low of 1162 to the high of 1409, just this year, you could see 100% retracement take you down to 915. And even though in my heart of hearts I don't believe that that's possible, but we are slower on bean demand right now than we have been before, the yields continue to come in well. And so, therefore, I think that if you're going to be storing beans, I still believe selling off the combine and taking your chances on re-owning them in a fixed-risk position is a better way to go. But if you're going to hang on to them, you better have some type of risk management in place. And when you look at the 14 crop, the 14 crop right at this point in time, we closed today at, I just lost it here, didn't I? Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I lost my 14. I lost my 14. My 14 number here, but
485 and a quarter for December
okay,
corn,
there you
and
go.
Then for
yeah.
November beans, it was $11.76 and a half.
$11.76 and a half. That's what I knew. It was around $11.70 something. I took and did a Fibonacci from 11.53 up to 12.35, the most recent high and low that we've just had on a monthly chart, on a weekly chart. And it projects down to 11.21, and it projects also up to as high as 12.85. So, you know, the opportunity is there, but I believe what you've got to look at is you've got to say, okay, we're in the 11.70s right now. That's still a 50-cent downside. So, you know, I would venture to say that there, too, an options opportunity is probably the way to go. You know, and CONAB did come in today and say Brazil is going to produce 6 to 8 million more metric tons, and that's primarily because of the ratio for beans to corn and their currency down there. Landworth came in at 3.16 billion bushels for the U.S. That's higher than where the USDA is right now. So there's plenty to be thinking about, you know, and same thing there, too. I think it would be worthwhile in beans in 14 to just get some hedges in using option strategies, because you can go deeper in the money than where the futures are using an option strategy to cover your crop insurance.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. That's Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama is nominating Federal Reserve Vice Chair Janet Yellen to succeed Ben Bernanke as chairman of the nation's central bank. If confirmed by the Senate, Yellen would be the first woman to head a major central bank anywhere in the world. She also would be the first Democrat chosen to lead the Fed since President Jimmy Carter nominated Paul Volcker in 1979. The International Monetary Fund cut its global economic growth forecasts and warned that the U.S. would harm the world economy if it fails to raise its borrowing limit. The International Lending Agency said the global economy will grow 2.9% this year and 3.6% in 2014. Both are 0.2 percentage point lower than the group's July forecasts. The main reason for the downgrade was slower growth in China, India, Brazil, and other developing countries. But the IMF also lowered its outlook for U.S. economic growth this year to 1.6% and next year to 2.6%. But the IMF projections are running counter to others also released today. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that economic growth is set to pick up in China and Russia, as well as in major developed economies. According to the leading indicators of the IMF, Germany will continue to lead the Eurozone's modest recovery, with Italy poised for a pickup in growth after almost 2 years of declining activity, and France is also set for a pickup. The leading indicators also continue to point to firming growth in the U.S. and Japan, the two largest developed economies, as well as in the United Kingdom. Analysts now say it's increasingly unlikely the Federal Reserve will trim economic stimulus before 2014. Some Fed officials have said the policy committee's decision at its September meeting against paring the nation's $85 billion in monthly bond purchases was a close call. Details about last month's decision could emerge when the Fed issues its minutes today. South Korea has suspended some U.S. beef imports after finding a banned feed additive in meat supplied by a unit of Colorado-based JBS USA. A probe on September 24th found a controversial feed ingredient used to boost marketable meat and cattle in 22 tons of beef imported by Swift Beef Company, a subsidiary of JBS USA. Swift Beef supplies about 6% of total U.S. beef imported to South Korea. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, farmland returns in Illinois for this year and next are likely to be lower than the last 3 years. Operator and farmland returns are projected to be lower in 2013 and 2014 as compared to returns from 2010, 11, and 12. The lower returns occur primarily because of lower commodity prices, says University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke, but also because of higher non-land costs.
No, that's true. What we're doing is projecting operator and farmland returns for 2013 and 2014, and that would be a return to both the farmer and landowner. For northern Illinois, we're coming out with that number for both 2013 and 2014 to be right at $300 an acre, and that's down about $190 from the last 3 years, or the average for the last 3 years. So it is down considerably from a couple of years earlier.
Returns from highly productive farmland in central Illinois will be off substantially, too, as will be the poorer soils in the southern part of the state.
The major factor, just going back, that's causing this is 450 corn versus, you know, higher $5 and $6 corn. What that means for farmers is that they're going to have less income and that machinery purchases will likely have to be slowed down or reduced in amount. And cash rents, particularly at the high end, may have to come down as a result of these lower return projections.
Given that statement, Schnittke does not expect a reduction in cash rents for the coming growing season. However, if the price of corn and soybeans flattens out at what Illinois has been projecting for this year and next, something closer to $4.60 for corn and ranging from $11 to $12.60 for soybeans, well then, cash rents may need to settle back.
If you look at our projections right now, they're at those levels for both 2013 and 2014. If you look at futures contracts going out, that's where prices are at. And to get higher prices, we'll either need much lower yields someplace in the country or supply problems or an increase in demand, which it's difficult to anticipate that at this point.
You may read more from Gary Schnittke about the projected returns from farmland this year and next on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. A quick update of what the marketplace looks like. Bree Stauffer is on the phone line from the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Bree.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with basis, and what do you think it's looking like at the moment?
Okay. We found some strength sort of in the bean side of things. We've had some crappy weather here this last couple of weeks that it's kind of kept the bean flow steady, so we feel like maybe the bean basis has found some footing here in the near term. But that being changed, we could see significant bean harvest pick up here in our area here today and tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. And on the corn side of things, we see some nearby bids still hanging in there in the teens, still kind of worry about that basis late into October, first part of November, as space in the countryside starts to fill up and we move on further into harvest.
All right. I'm out of time. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank
you. That's Bree Stauffer with the Andersons, back in 2 minutes.
It's Moldy Cheese Day. It's also Grinder Hoagie and Hero Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Benjamin Banneker died, an American inventor, mathematician, and compiler of almanacs. He was the first to record the arrival of the 17-year locust. The periodical cicada is usually solitary, but from time to time it migrates in vast swarms, which causes extreme damage to crops. In 1865, the first underground oil pipeline was laid between Oil Creek and Pitt Hole, Pennsylvania. The 5.5-mile, 2-inch pipeline delivered 80 barrels of oil an hour to railway terminals in Pitt Hole. In 1906, Joseph Farwell Glidden died, an American inventor. Glidden was an Illinois farmer when he developed his design of the first commercial barbed wire, a product that would transform the West. Glidden's barbed wire opened the prairie to large-scale farming and made him one of the wealthiest men in the U.S. And in 1996, the world's largest grilled cheese sandwich was made. It weighed in at 3,000 pounds and was a publicity stunt for Kraft Foods. The sandwich measured 11 feet by 11 feet and was equivalent to about 600 individual sandwiches. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here to take up the weather forecast. It's a beautiful day, Drew, and I suspect that it might stay that way, and farmers would really like it so they can continue to harvest. What can you tell me about the weather forecast?
Well, you know, I do think it's looking fairly good across the region. We don't have any good reason to complain at the moment. There's probably going to be a little bit of shower activity coming up here at the end of the week as a very weak cool front tries to cut through the Midwest. It'll be located from Minnesota through Iowa to Kansas probably sometime on Friday evening. And it probably won't work its way into Illinois or Missouri, at least not eastern Missouri, until sometime on Saturday about mid-morning. And from there onward, the weather across the heart of the Midwest will probably deteriorate somewhat with that frontal system. But it's such a weak front that the rain is going to be erratic and mostly very light. A quarter of an inch or less will probably occur most often. There might be a couple of spots out there that could get a half inch of rain. But it doesn't look all that impressive. But I think a fair amount of Illinois and neighboring states will see rain at one time or another in association with this frontal boundary. And then we'll take a little break from it. Probably see dry weather occur during the latter half of the day on Saturday and on into Sunday. And then a new low-pressure center is forming out in the plains at that point in time, and it will come roaring across the Midwest during the early part of next week, maybe Sunday night at the earliest, but mostly Monday and early Tuesday event. And that is when we'll probably see the field work put on hold for a little bit, but not a lot. It'll get dry after that again.
How much rainfall do you think will come with that event?
Well, the event for late in the week and early next week probably will produce a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain. The low-pressure center is currently expected to track from Kansas to Wisconsin. If it takes that track, there won't be anything greater than that. If the track is shifted a little bit more to the southeast, which I think is still a possibility, we might end up with some greater amounts, with some local totals maybe getting upwards around an inch. But as long as the low stays to the north, we will probably be on the weaker side of the event, and we could end up with, again, another erratic rain event. So a significant setback in field work, that's not very likely.
Our contacts in Ukraine tell us that they are this week moving in the field as well to pick corn. How will their conditions be?
Well, they're definitely going to be better. It's been downright cold over there this past 10 days, and it was very wet before that. So field work is definitely behind the normal pace there, not only for corn planting but or corn harvesting, but for wheat planting as well, as and also rye. And the weather conditions will be a lot better over the next 7 days with a lot less precipitation, in fact, virtually nothing. And temperatures, it'll be back to slightly warmer than usual bias, but it'll only last for a week. Come the latter part of next week, we're going to be seeing more rain and snow in the western parts of the former Soviet Union, and it's going to get very cold again.
And finally, check harvest progress for me and conditions in China.
They're having a great harvest season right now, with the exception of the northeast corner of China, where it's still raining too much. Some of the quality of soybeans there could end up being compromised if they can't get into a better drying mode. But the rest of China is in great shape and seeing a very limited amount of rainfall with low soil moisture, and the temperatures are warm. It's the perfect environment for not only harvesting corn and soybeans, but also planting winter wheat.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.